Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. Bobby, the Bears.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of 79th and Hollis. This is episode 272. Man, it's your guys, Scott and Flows here. You know, to follow us on all social media platforms at Barbchair, Scott, at Flows, and Dolini. Of course, follow 79th and Hollis at 79th and Hollis on all social media platforms as well, man. We are back the morning after. A complete shit show at Soldier Field. Shout out to y'all who checked out our immediate reaction. And I know a lot of y'all pointed out our annoyance in that video because we were annoyed. It was midnight. We were on the field longer than we wanted to be. We just saw the same bullshit we've seen our entire lives. So I'm going to give you the floor, Perk. What is your next day feeling?
I am nowhere near as down, as perplexed and as sad as everyone else. In fact, I feel none of those emotions. That's not to say that the way Bears fans are feeling isn't just, but I think we're missing context when we're viewing this loss. Now, Scott pointed out something to me because we were chatting yesterday. I don't know if that was on the video or not, about how, you know, we can't take everything in isolation. We have to see the things in totality. And Scott is correct. You can't ignore the decades of ineptitude by the Bears, the failures of Bears quarterbacks consistently since I've been alive. Like, there, think of a notable Bears quarterback. The only person who is notable and even wasn't that great, no disrespect to him, was Jim McMahon. Outside of that, we're talking about the Chad Hutchinsons, the Craig Krenzels, the Kyle Ordons, who I did almost call Randy Orton, the Kyle Ordons, the Rex Grossmans. We're talking about so many bad, I mean, then going to the Mr. Biskys, Justin Fields, and now Caleb. Like, we're talking about four decades of bad QB play or inconsistent QB play. And so for fans to be upset makes total sense. However, I think what we saw yesterday was just not that bad. And as we go further in the show, I will give you my more detailed analysis. But people were like downtrodden. Some of my best friends are texting me saying, bro, I can't believe this. I'm so sick and tired of this. I'm like, we'll be fine. I don't know if we'll be fine, but I'm not going to just give up just yet.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I rewatched the game. I just got done rewatching it. It was as bad as I remember it being. It was bad. And I think that Caleb wasn't even close on half of the passes. It didn't look good. And granted, he's not the only to blame for this. I think a lot of people are letting Ben Johnson off the hook because we are in the honeymoon stage. And I say, I don't have time for the honeymoon stage for him. I understand he's a rookie head coach. He's going to mess up. I expect him to mess up. But he got conservative in the second half to me. He got conservative. I feel like when Caleb wasn't hitting on those plays, he went to more of a, conservative type of play calling. The actual head coach decisions I didn't like. I'd have a problem with the fourth down things. I know I saw Cap on him and Jay Hood this morning being upset about the fourth down things, and Jay Hood said the same thing I was going to say on here. That's just who he is. He did the same shit in Detroit. And Bears fans last year, Bears fans and media both killed Eberflus for his conservatism and, oh, you got to go for it on there. So the thing about a fourth down play is when you get the first down, it's awesome. When you don't make it, you question everything. I personally didn't have a problem with the fourth down plays. If there's anybody blamed for the fourth down plays, it would be Caleb not getting the ball to where he needs to get it. Like doing the DJ play. DJ was wide open. So if I had to do concern, out of the two, I'm least concerned about Ben. I saw some troubling signs from Caleb. Now, I want to be very clear, because we live in a world where everybody, you know, there's no room for nuance in these conversations. I am not saying I'm out on Caleb Williams. I am not saying that Caleb Williams is done, and I damn sure not one of them idiots who think that they should start Tyson Bajan. And I know that's going to be a very big talking point. I even seen some people say, well, he won't hesitate to play Bajan in October if it's looking bad. Let's be very clear about one thing. Ryan Poles' job is on the line with Caleb Williams. He will not allow his head coach to not give Caleb Williams every opportunity possible to succeed. Even with Mitchell Trubisky, as bad as Mitch did, Mitch didn't get benched in 2020. Like, it's going to take a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that even ever does happen. But there were some things that I saw. Honestly, the loss for me personally, and this, I'm just talking for me. My brother has a different opinion, and that's why we have this podcast. We have different opinions. George, get on IR. Not good. But my opinion was the loss. I don't care about the loss. They should have won that game. But I'm way more concerned about what I saw with Caleb, because now me and Joe, we talked about this while we walked out of Soldier Field last night. You're to believe that accuracy can be coached. And I'm not saying accuracy can't be coached into a player, because we've seen it before. But it doesn't happen that much. Like, the only quarterbacks who got, I can actually think, who went on become MVP caliber quarterbacks is Lamar Jackson, is Josh Allen, is Peyton Manning, who got it coached. I don't know. CJ Stroud is having that problem right now. Obviously, he's not an MVP. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he is having that issue right now, where he does it's looking similar to me. Where a lot of these, I think as much as I have a problem with the calls that Ben called in, I think we think a lot differently about this game plan if Caleb is hitting those passes. Now, having said that, Joe, you had a great point this morning. Every time Caleb did get into a rhythm and they got past the 50-yard line, which is about 5 or 6 times, there was a penalty that brought them back. And what did we say when the season started? I don't care what quarterback you are. You can be Patrick. Second and longs, third and longs, help nobody. So you got to make it easier for him on that. But at the same time, why I give Ben a little blame here is because you got to help the kid out with the running games. And now I expect the running game to get that much better this year. But DeAndre Swift is not a 15 carry per guy. Me and Joe were saying this mid game. You might want to give Calvin Nunn guy some carries. And I don't know what he's going to be. He's a rookie. I think he's like a fourth rounder, if I'm not mistaken, third or fourth rounder. But you got to shake it up. When Roshan gets back, you got to shake it up with that as well. So there's a lot of things that went into this. But if we're just going off of the – how I feel the next day thing, I don't feel good. I don't feel good at all, especially as I was hoping – the rewatch will help me think, oh, it wasn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? But no, it was bad to me. And I have a very bad feeling going into this Detroit game. I already picked us to lose that game, even if we would have won that game comfortably yesterday. Because I just feel like, you know, we got to, you know, it's going to be a hard time to be, especially with the Lions coming off that thrashing from Green Bay over the weekend. I think that you're stepping into a Lions then, literally. And whew, I'm not looking forward to it, man, because the accuracy is a problem for me. And I don't know. I'm worried. I'm a fish. I'm worried about Caleb long term. Now, that doesn't mean I'm done with him, but you gotta hit those gimmies, man. So that's how I feel next day thoughts. You know what I'm saying? But I will say, after this podcast, we're done with this game and we go again and on to Detroit. I will not be going over there. I know some of y'all are going to discuss this all week. I will not. After this podcast, we're on to Detroit. But that's how I feel next day. Let's talk about blame game. Everybody looks for blame. How would you rank who you would blame for the loss yesterday?
I would probably blame the offensive line first. I think it was just inexcusable by them. Whether it was the massive amount of penalties, whether it was misplacement in their blocks, it was bad. And they have to be the sole responsible reason for the Bears getting in the situation that they were. And as the comment noted, the Bears, at the start of third quarter, had 6 straight third and longs, just constantly bad. Second, it's not a person per se, but it probably goes back to the offensive line as well, was the lack of a good running game. The running game was awful. And you're not going to win in the NFL with a terrible running game consistently. After that, I would go Caleb. He would be the three. He missed several throws. He would finish 21-35, whereas the first half was brilliant. I think he was like 10 for 10. He then was like 8 for 20 afterwards or something like that, missing on seven, really just open, missed it, whether it was like a skinny post to commit an in route or a slant from DJ Moore, he missed. But the offensive line absolutely has to be the blame. And then, before Ben Johnson, I'm going to probably even say Cairo Santos. Not only was Ben Johnson very direct that kickoff was designed to go out of the end zone, he misses a field goal. You make that field goal, Bears tie the game, it goes to overtime. Or, after the Vikings score, it does that. You might have given them a kill shot momentum-wise. Like, there's so many things. And so, I have to put that up there. Like, I understand our the fans, or just fans in general, that the quarterback is like the captain or the CEO of the team. And so because of that, they get the blame. But I don't think that's a rational take to make in today's NFL. At least not just yet.
Yeah, fair. Definitely fair. I think that even with all the chatter around this game, I don't think there's anybody, for the most part, I think is wrong with the feelings. Like we've always said, yes, in a vacuum, this is one game. In a vacuum, this is one game. But, Joe, me and you had a real good conversation after the game yesterday. This is for us. We're just talking about our age. 30-plus years of trauma. So when you add all of that, you're going to get some irrational take. I see a lot of Bears fans who are done with Caleb right now. And these are also the same people that on Sunday will be ready to go again because we're Bears fans. When I was driving this morning, I saw a dude on 63rd Street walking his dog. I don't know why I walk my dog on 63rd Street. It's funny, but it is. But I seen a dude on 63rd Street walking the dog, and he had his Bears fleece on, and he looked like he lost his best friend. I seen a lady jogging with her Bears hoodie on, the Bears hat. Like, we love this team, no matter how bad it is. And so that's why you have the frustration, because there's so much, we're passionate about it. But, we can sit up here and do that. We're going to do the blame game. So if I had to blame anything, number one, it's the quarterback. I'm going to blame Caleb, number one. And to me, that was on my blame game is number one. Number two, I'm going to go penalties. I'm going to go penalties number three. Two. Three, I'm going to go running game. Four, I'm going to go Ben Johnson, which goes in conjunction with the running game. Because I do think that if Caleb hits a lot of these gimmies, like the first, Jonah Jackson looked bad too. But the Jonah Jackson looked bad. Braxton Jones is not a starting left tackle in the NFL. And Darnell Wright didn't look great either. To me, if Caleb even hits a couple of those throws, I think it's a different ball game. And I think that, like you said, Joe, it started real high, but it got bad, worse and worse. And I think the drive that kind of, I feel like, took a lot of the confidence away, not just from Caleb, but from this team, was the first drive of the third quarter, where Caleb wasn't close on any of those three passes he made. It was first down, second down, third down, punt. So that's why I'm putting the blame in his feet. Now, I'm going to keep reiterating. Does not mean I'm done with him. I feel like I have to say that because people are idiots and they don't listen. I'm not done on the kid. But he has got to get better, and he's got to get better quick, because now I feel like Caleb and Ben are facing the heat. And not that Caleb isn't used to that, because last year that was he. But he no longer has the he's just a rookie thing behind him, or he has an idiot head coach behind him. But these two have to work in conjunction. You know what I'm saying? They have to work in conjunction, which means, Ben, when you see your quarterback struggling, you have to make the game easier for him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like that was done in the best way possible yesterday. And we talked about this on I'm Not Gonna Hold You last week, where Bang said, it can get dark quick. And I'm not even talking about from the win-loss record. I'm just talking about performance level of Caleb Williams and performance level from Caleb Williams. You got sharks that are circling right now. And we can sit up here and talk about that article that dropped a couple days ago. I think it was BS. A lot of people think it was BS. But we're about to find out what kind of leader both of these men are and how Caleb really does with the Heat. I lived in Los Angeles for 2 years. Yes, USC is their pro team, but they are not the Lakers. And they are not the Dodgers, aka the city ain't gonna give them that much heat for it. You know what I'm saying? Like the Bears is a different thing. And I think that's what we're really gonna see. So I think this is like a perfect segue into the next one. Joe, how worried should we be about Caleb? Now I know you said that it's his first game. Was there anything that you saw that outside of just first game problems or first game with a new system that you saw that was concerning?
It's going to sound – my thoughts on it will be – I would be stupid to say that there weren't, you know, odd things. And this is – and you know, my talk about, you know, accuracy being fixed, it's also not to tell you that Caleb will do that or to tell you, like, you know, this is easily fixable. No, it's to tell you that it can be fixed. And when it comes to rushing throws, if it's simply just rushing throws, calm. Like, that's, you do fix that. You fix that with repetition. You fix that with consistency and practice. Like, there are things you can do. Calming down, getting him to understand it. As he said in practice, he's like, I was consistently hitting this in practice, and I didn't. And I see an interesting thing with Bears fans and the way we treat the quarterbacks throughout the history. When Justin Fields' confidence was rattled, what did he do? When Mitch Trubisky's confidence was rattled, what did they both do? They stopped throwing the ball. They stopped throwing the ball. And their coaches stopped giving them passes down the field. Last night, you saw Caleb Williams struggle to throw the ball in that third and fourth quarter, really that fourth quarter, and Ben Johnson kept calling pass plays. How many times do we sit and look at Justin Fields and say, man, you got to keep throwing it? And so now he's doing that, and the thing is, oh, I'm concerned. This happens. This is rattling. It happens. It happens to the best amongst them. There are very few people who come out of the gate like a Patrick Mahomes, like an Aaron Rodgers, and dominate the league from go. That doesn't happen. For the people who are the Phillip Rivers, the Drew Brees, the Josh Allens, the Steve Youngs. Yes, I'm naming some quarterbacks who are amongst the greatest of all time. I get it. Maybe we'll go with somebody who wasn't as great. Rich Gannon. Struggle for a decade, Minnesota, Washington, KC. What happens when he gets to Gruden in his 30s? It comes back and all of a sudden he is good. This is not me telling you we need to wait 10 years or somehow how long Rich Gannon was like Caleb. No, but it's to tell you accuracy actually has been fixed. Now, here's the thing with the NFL. Most quarterbacks throughout the history are going to be bad to mid. And Caleb could very well do that. But if we're simply focusing on the fact that he was overthrowing him and this is concerning, what does concerning mean to you? Do you want him to never struggle? Do you want him to not go through these things? I think we would have felt better. It's definitely a game-by-game thing, because if Caleb would have killed this game, struggled with the Lions, he'd be like, oh, man, he's still a rookie. But his first game is a struggle, and therefore it's concerning. This is bad. That's not how I view it. I view it as this is still a young kid who is clearly rattled. He was rattled that game. But he wasn't rattled so much that he did not stop throwing. He kept trying, and he missed. And what happens when you are just so afraid? You're going – no, so afraid, but just so like rattled up. You're not calm. You're not in a rhythm. You don't have things hitting for you. You miss your passes. It reminds me of that the drive in which he got that touchdown to cut the lead to three before they got to the kickoff. Overthrow, but it was caught. And then the next pass just came out good. It's a rhythm game. And for certain quarterbacks, it's like they come out the league. They come into the league born with it. For other players, Tom Brady included, you need to develop that. Tom Brady took for a long time to become who he was. Tom Brady, for the longest, was a winning quarterback, was winning since he started. He beat Peyton Manning consistently. But Tom Brady didn't become that, oh, man. Not only is he great in the clutch, but he's actually incredible. You didn't really get to that until probably 2006. His first year, I think he's like 18. Right, he's like 18 and 12. The next year, he's like 27, 26 and like 17, 23 and 12 or something like that. Then you get to that, all near 30 and 12, Randy Moss, 50 and 8. And then that's Brady. It's the Brady you know and love. And So it just takes time. Again, this is not me telling you that we need to wait for Caleb. No. But I will say, I can't put this game on him when the offense had about six opportunities in scoring position in Vikings territory to score that were wiped away by penalties. If those penalties never happened, the Bears would score six times. Six times is what, 42 points left on the board. They score that, and then you're not going to look at those drives in the third quarter. You just said, oh, we got to fix some things up. But the game of football is not ever won solely by the quarterback. It's impossible. The game of football is won by every single player on that field. But when you struggle to get when you struggle to truly get in that rhythm, when you struggle to get protection and consistent mechanics from your line, this is what happened. And yeah, as Sid said, arm angles happens all the time. Does that mean he's going to fix it? And I want Bears fans to hear me. This does not mean he's going to fix it. But it's to say it's the second game of the season, the first game of the season, I'm cool. But yeah, no, Josh Allen's career is a strong example of, wow, it was awful, and then now it's great. Again,
I think people forget how bad Josh Allen looked in that playoff game against the Houston Texans his rookie year. That was awful. Some of the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen in my life.
Josh Allen's first 2 years were like 55% completion rating. Year three, he blossomed with 70. It just happened. So I'm not telling Bears fans to not feel that anxiousness, that nervousness, that what the fuck. It's just, wait, it's a rookie head coach. It's a second-year quarterback. The only one, I hit the entire Chevy Trax on camera.
Mitchell scored 16 in 2018.
Big Mitch.
I remember that one.
One of the funniest things about that Mitch 16 game, that was Matt Nagy. That was some beautiful scheming by Matt Nagy. I don't think any of those passes were
the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life. That 2018 Buccaneers defense was food.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, you put a good point. I think the thing for me is, but like you said, what you were talking about, like we talk about each quarterback, I think the worst thing that happened, and I'll tell you this yesterday, the worst thing that happened to quarterback discourse is the worst thing that's happened to NBA discourse. Steph Curry and Patrick Mahomes. These dudes are not normal. We got to stop comparing mortals to non-normal people. They're not human beings. It's like, oh, who's going to be the next Michael Jordan? There's no next Michael Jordan. Who's going to be the next LeBron James? I don't care how athletic these kids are. Nobody's going to be LeBron James. You're never going to see another LeBron James again, period. You're never going to see another Patrick Mahomes again. And that's also us hyping up these quarterbacks. And the funniest thing about Caleb, remember the end of the game where they were down like two scores, right? And he started to hit it before that touchdown to Rome. When it's chaos and he got to go off script, he's incredible. But now the thing is getting him to play in structure, which goes with Ben Johnson. I think everybody's like, this is why we wanted Ben Johnson. And now, Ben Johnson, it's time for you to make your money, my G. Now you got to go into the lab and fix them. Now, I will say this. Tomorrow's practice that I will be at is closed. I don't know if that means anything, but we're not even able to watch warm-ups tomorrow. So I don't know if Ben saw the film today. Ben probably yelling. Joe, you said this yesterday during the press conference. When you asked him the question about the, you know, the small targets, didn't get enough targets for other guys like Colston Love and Luther Burden's Cole Kmet. And he took a long, deep sigh. It hit him.
I'm like, yeah, welcome. It sucks. But yeah.
So now it's on him to fix it. And he doesn't get a pass. I know some of y'all Bears fans are going to give passes to Ben Johnson because you like him right now. I'm not doing it. I said Nagy was cooked.
Can't do it.
Week 11. Once I saw the pick offense between Goff and Mitch, which was mainly Nagy's fault, and I always said as bad as Mitch was, Nagy was worse. I said it from the moment I saw it, and everybody called me a madman. So that's why I'm not giving a coach a honeymoon, period, especially somebody who was praised as the next Kyle Shanahan. the next Sean McVay, the next Kevin O'Connell, the next Matt LaFleur. You know what I'm saying? I know Bears fans don't want to give LaFleur credit, but LaFleur can scheme. To be like those guys, you have to fix him. And Caleb isn't broken. He has the tools. So who am I looking at? I'm looking at Benjamin Johnson to fix this. Now let's go to Ben's mistakes. What did you see from Ben that you didn't like and that he needs to fix?
The biggest thing that I think Ben needs to fix is that I didn't see a diversity of passes when they were down. Not down. I didn't see a diversity of passes when the offense was stalling. Like, Ben loves to get the run game going. And then after the run game, Scott, you might want to check that email that we got from the Bears. After the run game going, he likes to set up the play action. He likes to set up the bootleg. I want to see two-step drop throw. Get something quick. Get what they're giving you. J.J. McCarthy did that quite a few times. Give what the defense is taking you. Get that ball out quick. And I didn't see enough of that. A stubbornness to not take DeAndre Swift out. Obviously, if Roshan is in there, he probably wants to do it immediately. My thought would be that what's Kyle Manungai? Why not give him a chance? Why not give Kyle Manungai a chance? Because I don't think he got a singular carry last night, and DeAndre Swift was not good. I mean, running into linemen, there's holes, there's cutbacks. He was completely missing. It seems like he's great in open space. But when it comes to just, I need you to hit the line, it may be, and I spoke very highly of him. Like, he was solid in Detroit. He was solid with the Eagles. And the Eagles are Detroit fans. Like, all right, nigga. And I'm starting to see what they mean by this. He needs to be paired with another running back that can help him open it up.
You are correct.
So I think
Kyle Manunga had zero carries yesterday. It was Caleb, DeAndre Swift, and DJ Moore.
Right. And so I think the biggest issue is they need to more target diversity. I don't want to just see long route trees. Just give me something quick, a freaking straight up slant, quick slant. I don't need nothing crazy. And then in addition to that, I need to see Kyle Manungai get some carries if Roshan's not going to be in. And I don't mind the challenge. People didn't like the challenge, but I'm like, it was worth taking. Even if you didn't win it, you understand it. So those are the biggest things for sure. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm with you the most part. I didn't like the conservative play call in the end of the game. I didn't have a problem with the challenge from upstairs. It looked like a challengeable play. I didn't have a problem with him going on fourth down multiple times because I feel like Caleb got to make those throws. And that's just who Ben Johnson is. Like, you can't say you want aggressive play calling, and then when you get aggressive play calling, get upset that it didn't work. That don't work. And I've seen a lot of that from Bears fans this year. And so I just want him to know, okay, when Caleb's struggling, like, let's switch it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what you have in DeAndre Swift. Not just because he's here, but because you had him in Detroit. And then you got rid of him. So you know what he can and can't do. He is not a 15-carry back. I don't know what they got in Kyle Manungai. I know that Roshan Johnson run like he got mud in his shoes. But you got to switch it up and give these guys carries. And, yeah, I'm tired of screens. I'm tired of screens. Maybe I just got screen PTSD from Getsy. I'm tired of screens. The one screen, Luther Burden, did not work. You know what I'm saying? But to me, this is something where I need to hear about Caleb and Ben being locked in a room with Declan Doyle and them planning this out. Because this is something that they got to get together. But I think the thing that's unfortunate for both Ben and Caleb is they're, I don't say have to play perfect, but they're going to have to be as clean as possible. Because this offensive line, like I told y'all all summer, some of y'all cussed me out, said I ain't know nothing about offensive lines because I told you the offensive line looks messy with the pre-snap penalties. That, to me, until I see it for like a couple games, is going to be an issue. So that in the running game is going to be a problem for Caleb and Ben Johnson's play calling because you're going to have more second and longs, third and longs, and it's going to be an issue. And also for Ben – like I said, first game, I want to mix it up. Give me more coastal leveling. I didn't see Cole Kmet at all. You know what I'm saying? Cole Kmet had a good catch, one good catch. Caleb overthrew him a couple times, but get Cole Kmet involved. You know what I'm saying? Roma Dunze was ignored for like two quarters. Now, I don't know if they just weren't giving him targets. I don't know if the Vikings were locking him up. He was ignored for a good portion of that game. Use him. Use his height. And I want to see more downfield stuff. Now, granted, that has a lot to do with Caleb being accurate enough to hit these downfield spots. But I just want to see more variety, I guess, is what I want to see from him. Now, the good thing for the Bears, you're not going to be playing Brian Flores' defense every year. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you. Right. Yeah, I would have traded whatever to get Ashton Jensen. I said that from the top. I like Coastal Level, but I don't even got Ashton Jensen. Because in a Ben Johnson offense, you need a running back. And I don't think we got one in the building. I'm sorry. I don't think we got one. So I want to see more variety. And this is going to be – this is a learning thing. Now you go to a place in Detroit where this is a must-win for both teams. So, but we'll get in Detroit as we close the playoff, close the podcast with. John, I want to get to a topic that you have been foaming for the mouth to talk about. The deeper, darker criminal link here is this team's general manager, Ryan Poles. I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, one, I wanted to – briefly before I get into that, I'm looking at Caleb Williams' pass tree. And so he missed 14 passes. And of those 14 passes, half of them came from 5 yards or less. So 14 passes, he missed 7 passes from 5 or less. The other 7 passes were missed at those two to DJ and Cole Kmet were from 12 and 14 yards. There was one on the sideline to Romo Dunze that was dropped. There was a deep one, and there was one more deep one. So he missed the vast majority from 5 or less, which he never struggled. You're concerned, obviously, to see him miss that much, but it's a much easier fix than, oh, he's completely jacking it up and missing those other passes. Because he also made the majority of those passes from 10 and under. So he made a deep 20-yard pass. He made a 25-yard pass. He made a 18-yard pass. So there's some positives there. Anywho, the deeper, darker criminal link within this is Ryan Poles. I do not think Ryan Poles is a good general manager. That is the bona fide truth about all this. And, for instance, if we look at the Bears draft, we have to understand why did the Bears draft the players that they draft? I'm not mad at the choice of Colston Lovin because I think Colston Lovin is a very good tight end. But you had Cole Kmet, which at least lets you know it is not an immediate need. Next up, you draft Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri. Very, very good talent. Obviously, a lot of people thought he could be a first-round pick. But you have DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and Zacchaeus. You don't need a wide receiver. Now, Ozzie Trufillo, you draft someone who is more than likely supposed to play at Darnell Mooney's position. But now he's going to be a swing tackle. So, again, why are you drafting that specific one when you need Braxton Jones' side? You draft Shamar Turner. Not mad at that at all. Very good choice. You draft Reuben Hoppolite. Not mad at that at all. An okay choice. But we're missing in this drafting another cornerback. Your cornerbacks are fine. You're missing that you should have spent the vast majority of those first picks on other things. Specifically, those first three, you needed to pick directly inside interior presence on the defensive line. That should have been the vast majority of your pick. If not, maybe you swing big and you get yourself a running back. But you didn't need that. And so, like, it's not that they're bad players. It's that you should be drafting according to need. I know some people like to draft best player available. I think that is a stupid philosophy. Why are you drafting the best player available? If you're drafting the best player available for your team need, sure. But it's like, for instance, if I am the Bears, this is a hypothetical scenario. I have Myles Garrett on my team. And in the draft, there's another defensive end. Reggie White is up to draft with the number one pick. I have the number one pick. Let's just say I have Myles Garrett and I have TJ Watt. I have two of the greatest defensive end of all time on my team. Obviously, Reggie White is a legend, one of the greatest pass rushers of all time. But I have two incredible pass rushers on my side, two incredible pass rushers on both sides of the ball. Reggie White is the number one prospect. He is available in the draft, but I have two. Does that mean I draft another defensive end? No, I get someone else. someone else who fits what I need. And that is the, sorry if you hear the school bell, I am at work. That is the biggest issue I have with the philosophy. It seems to be, it seems to roll around as a need to best player available. Colston Loveland, which I think will be a very good player. I think he has all the skills. You didn't need him immediately. You didn't need him immediately. And if we're talking about the best tight end available, it was Tyler Warren, undoubtedly. I question everything that he's done. I don't think Ryan Poles is a good drafter. In addition to that, at a time when you're bringing in a rookie quarterback who needed a rookie head coach, you kept Matt Eberflus, who's probably the worst Bears coach in history. I don't know what more you can see from Ryan Poles that makes you believe that he needs to stay here. Now, of course, the biggest issue is he just got a freaking contract extension. He's going nowhere. But he is not a good GM. And all every time that I look at his draft, I see mid. I mean, we had last year Caleb Williams in Rome, then Kieran, then Torrey, and Austin Booker, wasted picks. We go the year before that, we have Darnell Wright, Javon, Tyreek, Zach, Roshan, Tyler, Noah, Terrell, Travis, and Kendall Williamson. Out of all of those listed, we have three of them starting. The rest are gone. Quite a few are barely in the league. You go the year before that, you have Kyler, Jaquan, and then everything gets solid. You know what I'm saying? There is a lot of mid that I don't think you should deal with this anymore. But I doubt everything changes specifically because he got that contract extension. Unless the Bears just go like 0-17, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, to me, Ryan Poles is the if you want to look for the deeper issue here. I said this yesterday. Ryan Poles is like the dude who fixes a hole in his roof and then makes another hole with his foot. And he got going, you know what I'm saying? Fix that. That's what it is. But I just want to answer something in the comments about the Caleb Williams. I have 2 years of data. He lost this in USC or whatever the fuck. The thing about quarterbacks, man, winning is not a quarterback stat. And I feel like we only do that here. You have to have context with what goes on. I'm not taking a damn thing from what I saw last year. I'm sorry. That was the worst coaching I've ever seen in my life, and I watched Mark Trestman for 2 years. So I'm not taking nothing out of that. By the end of this year, we are going to know what kind of quarterback Caleb Williams is. It's just simple and plain with this coaching. I'm just not going to be making all these bold proclamations in week one about this kid's future. Did he stink it up yesterday? It was god-awful. I am not giving him a pass whatsoever. I'm not giving Ben Johnson a pass. There's nobody who is employed by that team. There's nobody who has a Halasaw ID, including us. Now, I am taking lack of accountability from this season. But to sit up here, oh, he lost to Penix. He lost to McCarthy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Look, man, USC had maybe the worst offensive line I've ever seen. And all y'all know how I feel about Lincoln Riley as a head coach. And we're not going to get into that again. We're arguing dumb shit at this point. Let's talk about what's in front of us right now. It was bad yesterday. It was bad. And if you're out on this kid after one game, stop watching the games. Stop watching the games. Like, I don't know why y'all go through this every year. Want to put a bull in your head and you watch the game next week. Stop watching the game. You know why I don't watch the Bulls? Because I'm done. Okay? I love the Bulls, maybe almost as love as I watch much as I watch the Bears. You think I want to watch Kobe White dribble up and down and hit ill-advised three all day? No. So I don't watch it. If you're that out on this kid, stop watching. He's gonna play. Unless he's hurt, he's gonna be the starting quarterback. And that just is what it is. Let's stop talking about 2023 and stop talking about 2024. Right. I don't care about what USC had. USC is not the Chicago Bears.
Right. I think if we're talking about, obviously the concern was the deep ball accuracy last night because it seems to struggle. The biggest issue was the medium passes. The one DJ was there, Cole Kmet. That seems to be the issue. That's not something he struggled with in college. What he struggled with in college, or what was inconsistent and not where you didn't want it, was a deeper ball. That where it's like when it was the fourth quarter, DJ was booty butt naked open, airmailed it. I'm like, yes. But what he improved on in college, he routinely passed up running lanes. Last year, Scott, how many times do we sit there and say, run the fucking ball? Run. You have a lane. Go for it. Take off. And so this is a moral victory. I was like, take off. And he took it. And so that at least shows me that Ben Johnson and staff have taught him you need to take it. And he took it. He was looking for a pass, but he took it. One thing he really did good, he set up his pocket. He reset his pocket constantly. He looked for his pressure. He's insanely elusive to not be the fastest person out there. Insanely elusive. He reset his pocket. He set up his throws, and he made them. But he just has to work on the rushness and finding the NFL timing and finding out, okay, now this is NFL window. Now this is NFL timing. I believe those are coachable. So I'm not, you know, I still have a lot of hope.
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, I have no problem with people having different opinions on the chat. But the minute you call somebody mentally weak, you can suck my dick. Okay, so let's move on to the next comment. That's about the upcoming schedule. Yes, somebody said I was mentally weak because I was using emotions. He was using proven data.
So let me tell you folks one thing. As a someone who is in a PhD for philosophy and theology, emotion is a part of the human language. It's a part of humanity. Emotion is a knowledge that we have. Emotional knowledge, logical knowledge, scientific knowledge, emotional language, scientific language, philosophical language. It's okay to use emotion. And on top of that, football, unlike math, unlike science, is not something that has a methodology to it that gets you to an accurate result. It doesn't happen. Football is more of an art form. No advanced
and numbers lie.
And numbers lie.
If you look at Caleb's box score, let's say I didn't see a second of the game yesterday, right? And somebody gave
I'd
me a
like,
box
score. Not bad.
I'm like, solid game. But since I have a little thing called eyes, I know that's not true. Exactly. Like this thing, like some of y'all be trying to be experts. A lot of y'all be watching all 22 and do not know what you're watching. Okay.
Right.
Like, I think I know a lot of football. I know Joe knows a lot of football. I don't know what I'm looking at half the time at all 22, and y'all know less than I do. So I know you definitely don't know what you're looking at when you see all 22.
And what I think is that when going back to Sid's comment about proven data with non-contact, the different levels, yes. For instance, obviously I teach theology, and my students were asking about, you know, certain aspects in the Bible. And I was like, if you don't understand the context of it, you're just raw data means nothing, or your raw interpretation means nothing. Things are contextual. Our world is contextual. And if you miss out on that, you miss out on the bigger picture.
Yeah, I want to answer the Ryan Post thing because I got sidetracked. Shout out to you, Mike, for why we just try to keep it real, my G. That's all we try to do. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I'm with you. All 22 is the worst thing to happen because regular people should not have access to all 22. We shouldn't. Like, you know,
I say that as I put up that all 22.
But I also said, even with training camp, I believe fans shouldn't be at training camp. Only that, I believe media. I believe we shouldn't get the access we get. There's a lot of stuff I believe should stay in-house. That's a whole other rant. But on the Ryan Poles, my thing with Ryan Poles is this. I kind of think it's a moot point, moot discussion. The reason I say that, the ink is dry. So unless something very drastic happens, and even then, I still can't see it. I think he's going to go through the duration of this contract. And it's like I feel like he has a problem. He's like, he draft players that had his same NFL story, or he's a good kid, and he works hard. Get the gamers. You know what I'm saying? Get the gamers. Like, I think Darnell Wright is a solid offensive lineman. I do not think he's going to be all pro. I do not think he's anything special. I think he's a solid offensive lineman. Having said that, I said this in the draft, I'm going to say it now. I don't care if he spit on 10 people. Jalen Carter is a game buster. That's what you need. There are no game busters on this defensive line. I don't understand.
I'm fine without Darnell Wright.
Like, look, I don't understand. And I know I said some of the Bears aren't going to look into Za'Darius Smith. They're not going to look into Micah Parsons. I was telling y'all what I knew was going to happen. But it makes no sense, man, that you look at this defensive line and you don't at least give the Cowboys a call. You can't let a team like the Green Bay Packers outbid you. Let's be really real about this. Packers never spend money. That's not the Packer way. So that doesn't make any sense to me. And even with the Ashton Jeanty thing, it makes me upset. You know, we had a general manager in Ryan Pace who maybe was too aggressive, right? He gave up a lot to get Khalil Mack. But you got another. Now you got general manager Ryan Poles who's too conservative. They had a chance to get Ashton Jeanty, but they didn't want to give up certain picks. You got to give to get. And now you're going to have to deal with this running game all year, which is going to be a problem. And so that's one of my many issues. with Ryan Poles. I don't think he's a guy. I never thought he was a guy. I said when he got hired, you giving this man way too much credit for finding Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? And that's the issue. And, like, I know we're doing Monday morning quarterbacking over drafting Caleb Williams. Look, everybody in Mama would have drafted Caleb a year and a half ago. But if the report that he laughed to even looking at Drake May or Jaden Daniels, that's malpractice. I'm not saying you draft them, but not looking at them, that's malpractice. If that's true, I don't know if it's true, but if it's true, it's crazy. So I forgot who said this. Somebody, no, I think it was Jonathan Hood said this morning. Good franchises, no, it's Courtney Cronin actually. Good franchises find a way to win, which is what the Minnesota Vikings did yesterday. Bad franchises find a way to lose. And we have now found ways to lose no matter the coach the last 2 years. 94% chance of winning the game yesterday, and they didn't get it done. And that just to me is deflating. It's one game. This is not the most deflating week one loss the team has had. I remember 2018 being up 23-0 in Lambeau Field and Khalil Mack's debut and Aaron Rodgers showed he's one of Satan's strongest soldiers again. I remember that. Guess what happened that year? They won the division. So by in no shape or form am I saying the season's over. By no shape or form am I saying that Caleb is done. Ben Johnson's going to be back being an offensive coordinator in 2 years. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in this, just off this game, it was terrible. It was terrible. So moving on, I'm just going to go through the, you know, we're just going to talk about the first quarter. I said in order for this team to win the 9 games I predicted to win, they got to, at bare minimum, finish 2-2 in the first four. Because this schedule gets dark after the bye week. It gets really, really tough. Joe, well, I know you're not going to be on the preview pod on Thursday. What's your feeling going into Detroit now? Like, I don't want to say this is a must win, but this is close to a must win for both teams that you could possibly get in a week two.
Say that again.
How do you feel going to this game in Detroit? Because I don't want to call anything a must win, but this is as close you're going to get to a must win for both teams heading into a week two, because both lost to a division rival, both have 0-1s in the division, and now they're trying to save face and before the season continues.
Yeah, I don't – you never want to be 0-2. That's the bear. That's the thing. You never want to be 0-2. That just starts you off nasty. I definitely would say this is as close to one must win in week two as you can get. You just don't want to start off this way.
So you don't have like what's your feeling on the Bears though going to this game? Like, do you have a feeling about it yet?
I think they'll win. I think the Lions are a good team. Dan Campbell's a good coach. Good coaches, good teams, good organizations will find ways to win. But I'm still concerned about what I saw with Detroit. They didn't look good at all. In my opinion, I thought that they would look worse than the Bears did. And so because of that, and I mean, they just looked inept at a few times. It looked like it wasn't getting out. And I'm pretty sure they didn't even score 20 points. I don't think they scored 14. So my thought is that the Bears will win that game, even if it's a close, nail-biting one.
Yeah, I feel like the Bears, I won't say need, because I do feel Dallas is winnable. I think Vegas is very winnable. But I think even for morale, you got to win this game. You know what I'm saying? And so the thing about Detroit is weird because I don't want to give a strong opinion on them yet. You know what I'm saying? Because new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. And I don't have faith in the defensive line to push – you know, that they can get to golf like that. And this is a good point right here. The Lions need this. They go to Baltimore in week three. So, you know, they got a tough schedule as well. You don't want this thing where Green Bay starts running on them. Like, you know, getting a big lead in the division. Green Bay plays Washington at home on Thursday Night Football. So, I don't feel good about it. But also, I'm still reveling in this loss. So, we'll see how I feel closer to the game. I just want to see more from Caleb and Ben. And, you know, that's just where I'm at with it, man. So I'm not going to give my preview right now. Obviously, I'll give that on Thursday when me and Mikey do the Patreon exclusive
podcast. It says Joseph said, though, the Lions are in the same situation as the Bears are.
Yeah, and that's what scares me, because they need it just as much as we do, and they're home. They, you know, they gotta, you know, they're not as learning as much as we have. But anyway, we're gonna be doing the preview pods. They drop every Friday. I record them on Thursday with the homie Mikey. If you watch I'm Not Gonna Hold You, you know who Mikey is. If you're new to the podcast, subscribe to the Barber's Chair Patreon. If you're watching this on, you know, a smart TV or whatever, iPad, take your phone up to the QR code, scan it, and it will take you to a different tier. Subscribe to the 79th and Hallis tier or the Barber's Chair Access tier to get those preview pods. So that'll drop on Fridays. Me and Mikey will preview the Lions game. So, of course, we will be in the building holding it down. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
No.
All right, Bears fans. I for me, this is the last day I'm venting, and then we go again. We go again tomorrow. I will be up at Hallis Hall for, you know, Caleb and Ben will be speaking. They have a closed practice tomorrow, so we don't know how that's gonna go. But yeah. So anyway, follow us on all social media platforms at Barchair Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at 79th and Hallis. We gonna holler at y'all next week from Detroit. We about here. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. Bobby, the Bears. Curtis.